Romans chapter 3, we were here last week, and it is truly a blessing to hear what the Lord is doing, and through difficult things, through trials, and isn't that the way the book of James opens up, talking about the trying of our faith? And we come to this section of James, and it's the tongue, and this is the more convicting part of James. That's why I always say that, you know, when I get to this, it's like, just rather skip over that and get to the end of the book, right? Because this is an area that certainly is close to all of us. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. He says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things, and if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." Let's pray. Again, Lord, as we open up your word tonight, I pray you'd open up our hearts and minds to receive it. We would do so in obedience to you, in instruction, Lord, that we would receive these things, Lord, that we would be able to share them with others even, or teach others. But more than anything, that you'd guard our tongues. And Lord, thank you that the tongue can be used to bring the words of life. And Lord, we also recognize the severity of it can bring the words of death. And so tonight, as we look at this, help us, certainly, Lord, to guard our minds and guard our tongues. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we began sort of in this section with verse 1, and I'm not going to revisit that because we looked at it last week in depth, but there was a solemn warning to teachers. Remember that? Where don't go and just desire, at least kind of flippantly, desire to be a teacher of the Word of God without counting the cost of it. Because as James writes, we'll be held to a different standard. And the words that we speak as teachers, as preachers, those, and in the context is the dispensing of the Word of God, God keeps account of that and will judge accordingly on that. And that was last week's message, and we looked at that solemn warning. He begins right with a warning, watch out. And then, number two, we see a surprising reason. And he goes on and explains this a little further up in verse 2 there. And in looking at this fact that if we all stumble, he says, in many ways, right? And let's go back up to that verse where he says, if verse 2 there, I didn't write it out on that, but it says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." And really what he's talking about there is the fact that every single one of us are on equal footing when it comes to the tongue. Every single one of us ends up with that problem that comes in doing that. And I think of that because too often in our world today, we live in a world where people speak their minds very openly. And I think the world of social media today has allowed people to sit behind their computer somewhere and not have to face somebody right directly. And therefore, they become very vocal about things. And I think that's not only sitting behind the computer, but people are becoming very vocal in public arenas and privately with people and say too much, right? The tongue. And Christians, I think, get falling into that as well. I think of that in this election season here in the United States, and not weighing in on all that, but there's a lot of vitriol that is just spouted off. And that's, people seem to think, if I'm loud and obnoxious enough, then people will be swayed by my opinions or something like that. And in the reality, I think a recent poll said that 75% of Americans are casting a vote this year against the other candidate, not necessarily for somebody, but just against. And that's kind of tells you where we're at, I think, as a society. It's easy for Christians to fall into that. It's easy to come into a church, into a public arena this way, but the body of Christ, and bring that same attitude. And James warns about it. He warns He uses that word perfect. He talks about being a perfect man. If a person can be complete and wants to be complete in all things, the first step is to guard your tongue. And I think of that because it's too easy to, in this world, to just kind of give out something in a quick tweet or a Facebook post or something said in haste, and we can offend so quickly, and people close off, you know, the switch. They'll never listen to what you have from the Word of God on that. And he talks about that. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. The tongue, as they say, is about 0.1% of the weight of your body, okay? Unless you're really out of proportion. Some of you say, well, I know people that probably it's bigger than that. But you know what? The tongue in its size is a very, very small member, isn't it? And yet, that little member can cause so much devastation. And it's the little member of the tongue that if we can learn to bridle it appropriately, we can control the rest of the body. And you think about that. I have been with people at times, people in the ministry, and I'll pick on them tonight because I won't say who, but I have on several occasions been greatly disappointed in private with someone that is a public, somebody who teaches publicly or preaches, even some that are well known even. And the opportunities I've had at various times, conferences, whatever, here and there, and I'm talking over years and years, I've run into them, or people that I would see in a public role, and then to hear them speak privately to people very harshly or egotistically or those kind of ways, and you know what? Probably 99% of the people out there don't see that. But that 1% that's around them, and I wasn't really close to these guys, but their families certainly would know what they're really like, that's what God watches, you know? And a guy could have a very public ministry. He could have thousands of hearers a week and maybe even more than that. And yet, if he in his 1% of those people that are around him or is offending and not bridling the tongue or is someone that comes across harshly to others, that's really, it's sad. It's what it is. It would be better that you only have two or three followers and your tongue is bridled, and that God takes note of that. He really does, doesn't he? I think of that because we are all on the same footing. And really, as James writes here, he reminds us of that. I often think of the verse, I think any of us could quote this verse, Romans 3:23, right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And everybody knows that verse. Well, I say everybody. I mean, if you're a Christian and you've been around for a while, you know probably the Romans road to salvation. That's the verse you start with, isn't it? Or you could start with. But it's funny. The previous verse, in verse 22, the end of it, it says this, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Guess what? He lays this case out that there's no difference. We're all in the same boat. Those that have, you know, that light sin or heavy sin or whatever, all that, we're all equal in comparison. It's what, kind of what Johnny was sharing with tonight about his talk with Andy. And I was just thinking about that, how the Lord works and he gives us the opportunity. I don't care how good you are, you're not good enough. None of us are in that. But very few people would look at that verse 22 and remember, hey, we're all equal, right? And there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, or the that standard that God has for us. Well, the book of Proverbs puts it this way, talking about the complete or perfect man. The word perfect there in the Greek means to be complete or whole. And Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. I like that. That's New King James. King James says keeps and guards is the word that is there. And you think about that. It's posting a guard. That takes work. It isn't something you just, you know, whatever, I'm going to not worry about it and all that. It takes work to post a guard. And you're guarding your tongue in doing that. I like what the New Living Translation says. It's a little more blunt. It says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut and you will stay out of trouble. Boy, that's a good proverb right there. And it kind of gives it a little more emphasis of the way it's written. It's keep your mouth shut. Keep it. All right. Watch it. Guard it. And you will stay out of trouble in that. Well, there's a solemn warning there's a surprising reason, right, that we have to do that, and it's very simply that we have to complete in that. And we don't need to argue with God on that. Too often it's a better, well, I'd say this, better to admit the truth than to argue with God and just do things on our own. And too often we come up with wisdom that we think is great wisdom, it's just human wisdom, and it falls way short of what the Lord has. And we are in that boat for sure. But also, there's some simple illustrations that James uses, and we've gone over this before in other lessons, but you have here the illustration of the tongue being used, and he uses several different illustrations there in that, and go back up to our text. He says, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by the fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires." And that's the very simple illustration that he uses here in regards to the tongue and its importance. Being a small member, it has the power to direct the rest, has the power to direct the body. Proverbs 18:21, the first part of that verse says, "The tongue can bring death or life." Death or life. The tongue. That's powerful. And you just stop and you think about that. The words I have are words that can either bring life or they can bring death. And we have to understand that in that process of things. The sins of the tongue can lead to the sins of the body. And there's a man named Brian Bill, and he offers a summary of the power of the tongue. And he says, "It can express or repress, release or restrain, enlighten or obscure, adore or abhor, offend or befriend, affirm or alienate, build or belittle, comfort or criticize, delight or destroy." And he says, how are you using your tongue? You know, that's a solemn warning. And if you want that list, I can send that to you later. But that's a solemn warning using these simple illustrations. And we're to mind our tongues. The tongue is a very tiny organ, and yet it can set on course the fire of hell, can't it? And that's one of those things that it's a reminder for that in this whole process. And he uses these simple illustrations of the bit in the horse's mouth. And I think of that, anybody here not ridden a horse before? I think most of you probably have at one time or another, or you've seen them, I'm sure. But I'm always amazed when I get a chance to ride a horse. You have this great big animal, and most of them anyways. And, you get on them and you think, this thing has the power to just crush me. I mean, if it wanted to, right? And yet, ridden appropriately and with that bridle and the bit in the mouth and all that, you can direct that great big animal, you know. And a few years ago, I rode a big horse, a Percheron. They're like a draft horse. They're not fun to ride because they're more like riding in a tank, okay? But they're big, and they just, you get on one, and they used to be war horses, and you just feel like you could conquer the world, you know? And you go out and do that. And I remember I got this one horse up to a nice gallop, and once he started moving, I was getting a little scared. Now I'm thinking, wait a minute. And the guy who owned the horse, he said, just give him a little pull back, and he'll slow right down. I did that. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad that he was controlled by the bit in his mouth. Now, I didn't tell anybody I was scared, but I was, you know. And I'll tell you, you get moving on this, and you think, and the tongue's like that. It has the power to direct it just this way or that way. And he uses the illustration of a ship's rudder. A ship's rudder. You know, you get in a ship on the ocean and you direct the rudder a little bit, and it's the difference between going to, England or Hong Kong. That's all they do. They direct the rudder just a little bit, and it, makes a difference, doesn't it, in the whole process. The tongue's like that too. Sometimes just a little tweaking this way or that way makes all the difference in someone's life in that. It's a tiny organ, but The question is, what will come out of my mouth today? How will it be used? And then he uses this sober reminder, or a sobering reminder, in verse 5. He talks about it, the fact that the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, right? Doesn't take much. I remember a few years back, and I think of several illustrations, but I was on a fire department in central Maine, and I remember the pager went off one night, and it was for a fire, and quote from the dispatcher, it was a small fire, and it was at a stud mill, which was one of the larger ones in the state, and it was just about 2 miles down the road, and went and got in the fire truck, and everybody took off, and we got about maybe a mile from it, and the whole sky was lit up. You know, we could see this orange glow. I thought, uh-oh, it's not a small fire anymore. What started as a small fire from someone who was welding, and they had shut down the fire, the sprinkler system, to work on some things, and it was a mill was shutting down at the process of it. It burned the whole thing up. It was one of the bigger fires of the decade for that area, definitely. And biggest fire in town that they ever had. And I thought of that because I thought, boy, I wonder if that dispatcher could take it back. She was just reporting way it was brought in. The security there had called it in and said, there's a small fire. Well, by the time the fire department got there, about 10 minutes later, it was a big fire. And eventually destroyed many buildings, and it brought in about 4 towns with all their fire apparatus and all that. So it's amazing, isn't it, sometimes the way that works. I think of that in the course of events of human history, the various things that take place. In the U.S. Holocaust Museum, there's a painting by Hermann Otto Heuer, and he paints this picture depicting Hitler and a group of followers in the 1920s. This was before Adolf Hitler was well known. He was an up-and-coming rising star, and his message was resonating with many people that were listening to him. In those things. And you see that, and by the way, the painting's entitled, In the Beginning Was the Word. Now, it's an interesting title. It's really a quote from John chapter 1, right? Think of that. What a difference, right? In the beginning was the Word. In the 1920s, when Hitler began, he didn't, you know, come in with guns a-blazing, anything like that. He began with words. He spoke words. And when he published his book, Mein Kampf, you know, about his life, that whole thing, millions and millions and millions of people would be dead by the end of a decade. Well, 2 decades from that. 1937, I think this painting was produced. And it hangs in the Holocaust Museum today. But it's a reminder. It's a reminder to me about the power of the tongue, right? The power of the tongue. And world history changed greatly with that. And he says that, how easy it is to direct. And really, out of World War II, tens of millions of people would die. And much of it could be attributed back to the fires that were ignited by one man. And amazing how the sway of that happens as well. I think of that because when you get up and you hear people talking today, whether it be in the public, you know, political arena or churches or wherever they're speaking, think of that. They have the power to ignite entire, you know, directions of the way things go. The ship is the other thing, and you've heard the phrase, loose lips sink ships, right? And that was on posters back in the days, World War I, World War II, and it was a reminder, don't give away details, right? The enemy's listening, those kind of things. But I think of it that way in the same sense of as a Christian, as too many ministries have become shipwrecked because somebody had loose lips and they went and did something in anger or said something out of malice or just gossip, those kind of things. J. Vernon McGee put it this way, it takes a baby 2 years to learn how to talk and then 50 years to learn how to keep quiet. So true, isn't it? Takes us a long time, probably more than 50 years too. I'm still under 50 and I don't know. I know that it's hard. Ray Pritchard on this section gives some illustrations or some practical things about the tongue. And I'm just going to quickly go down through that here in a few minutes we got. He says, number one, think before you speak. I'm sure this isn't original with Ray, but it was in his comments on this. Think before you speak. And I think of that because Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his lips guards his life, and he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Proverbs 17:27, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint. And then Proverbs 17:28, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. And I like how that's put in that translation, because you can often command a situation just by being silent, right? And people might think you're a fool, but then you open your mouth and it removes all doubt, right? And, you know, as they say, it's best just to be quiet. And sometimes that silence can speak volumes, can it? And I have rarely regretted the times I've been silent. I have regretted the times I haven't. And there's a little acronym, TKN, to remember. TKN, just three letters. TKN. Is it true? Right? That's the T. True. Is it kind? Kind, okay. And is it necessary? And you know what? I think if everybody, before they opened their mouth and just said, TKN, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? If Christians did that, hey, it would revolutionize our churches. It would revolutionize our impact on the world on things. Too often, words are said to make a point, and it's not kind, or it isn't necessary. There are things that you could say, and you could even win the battle with it, but you could lose the war because it wasn't really necessary in that. And then, of course, is it true? Is it true? There's a lot of foolishness that's spoken that's just not true. It's just, and we live in a world where truth is just, it's out, you know, people think it's my truth, your truth, anybody's truth, and truth has become a word that isn't even thought of as absolutes anymore. Is it true? If you speak words that are true, when you come to the important things of the Word of God, people will believe they're true also. Think before you speak. TKN, all right? Number two, yield your tongue to God. Yield your tongue to God. That's the harder part. Have you thought about doing that? Like when you come to the morning and say, all right, Lord, I'm getting up. Maybe before you even get out of bed and say, Lord, I yield this. I'm first going to yield my tongue to you. I mean, you can start right at the top. Yield my mind, my eyes, my ears, my tongue. But that should be right up at the top. And then get out of bed, right? And that's a lot easier than, you know, hopefully your wife brings you coffee before that. But anyways, but you know what I mean? Like we get our little things and boy, we get to complaining and those kind of things. Wow, watch out. Lord, guard my tongue. The hymn, take my life and let it be, right? I love that hymn. But in that, take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. That's a prayer, isn't it? That's a prayer. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful tonight that we can come to the Word of God and we can look at the things that you've done, Lord. And we can see the direction. And Lord, I'm reminded of those words from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And when you sent forth your Son, you sent him forth in the expression of what is communicated, the very communication of God. Thank you, Lord, that his tongue was perfect. He brought the words of eternal life. He didn't even just bring those words, but he lived those words. And he brought the very way to eternal life by providing himself a ransom for many. And thank you for that tonight, Lord. Help our words to be true. Help them to be kind. Help them to be necessary, to guard our hearts and to guard our minds and to guard our tongues. And we commit this to you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.